Amen. I am convinced. Now, let me say it this way. I am convinced that most of us really don't know how to live the Christian life. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I'm absolutely convinced that the vast majority of us really don't know how to live the Christian life. So often our moods are controlled by the weather. You know, if it's sunny, we're happy. If it's cloudy and rainy, we're not happy. You know, that's not any different than an unsaved person. I think as Christians, we live on roller coaster rides. When things are going well, we're happy. When things are going bad, we're miserable. Let me ask you this morning, how is that any different than a non-Christian? How is the way that you are living your life, having received Christ as your Savior, knowing what it means to be saved, knowing that you're on your way to heaven, knowing what God's Word says about life, how are you living a life that's any different than a lost person? I think as we look at the average Christian, they are living in an up and down life. You know, God forbid if we face problems in our life, then we're miserable. You know, we have a health problem, then that gives us every excuse in the world to be upset. You know, we have a financial, distressful life that we're living in, and our job is terrible. Oh, don't worry about it. You got a right to be upset. You got a right to be miserable. My question this morning is, as Christians, how is your life any different than this world? Are you living a life that is above life, or are you living a life that's basically the same as everybody else around you, except, of course, you go to church and you read your Bible and you pray and you serve God in some way? Can we throw all that out for a moment? Let's just talk face to face, eye to eye, and I'm going to say this morning, forget about going to church. I'm not going to say that too often, so if I say that, you know, that ought to make you think for a minute. Forget about going to church. Forget about giving in the offering today. Forget about using your gift to serve God. Forget about praying. I want you to forget about reading your Bible. I want you to take all of those things, and I'm going to take it over here, and we're going to stick it behind this tree, all right? So take that whole area of your life, and it's now behind the tree. That's what I want you to do with all that kind of Christian stuff. Now, if we are to remove all that, and we are to take the rest of your life, how is the rest of your life? Your attitudes, your general demeanor, the way you react to difficulties, the way you react to problems, your heart right now in the midst of whatever you're facing. And let me ask you this morning, how is that different than an unsaved person's heart and demeanor? See, we know as a Christian we're to do all those things we just hid. We know as a Christian we are to read our Bible and to give and to go to church and to pray and, you know, serve in the nursery. Hopefully when it's my time in the nursery, there's not a lot of kids there. You know, we know Christians, it's kind of, you know, they're supposed to do those kinds of things. But we're forgetting about all that. What we want to think about this morning is your demeanor, your attitude, your way of living. And if we were to look at those things, can we say of you that you are living above life? Or if we were to look at your life and we didn't know that you prayed, read your Bible, and went to church, if we didn't know those things, would we see any difference between you and the average lost person out in the world? think so often when we think about Christianity, we think about things we hid. I am a good Christian if I read my Bible, pray, and go to church. But how about our demeanor? How about our attitude? How about when we're facing in life an uphill battle? How about in life when we're facing difficulties that we really are really difficult? Where are you at then? I want to give you three thoughts this morning. Just three practical everyday things to help you to begin living like a Christian. And if you're sitting there saying, oh, the pastor's picking on me and I'm mad at him, that's all right, go ahead. I'm picking on you. I'm picking on us all, including me. Picking on every one of us. And I want us to really consider this morning setting aside all those things that we think a Christian ought to do. The Bible reading, the praying, and the going to church. And I want to just take for granted that those things ought to be real for the Christian, so we're going to set them aside. And I want us to really think about our demeanor, our attitude, especially when we're going through difficult times. I want us to really consider this morning whether our demeanor is controlled by the weather. Now, I got to tell you, I hear a lot of Christians talk, and I want you to know for most Christians it is. I want us to really consider whether our demeanor is controlled by whether things are going well in life or whether things are going really awful in life. And I want you to know this morning that for the Christian, none of that should be true. Now, I am not saying that you are robots or I'm a robot or that we're all perfect and we're perfectly living like Christ. There may be times where we get knocked down. But I want you to know, as a general way of living, as a lifestyle, as a demeanor, we ought to be different than this world. And we ought to be able to live above life, above the fray. The other day, and I'm sorry, you're going to get lots of boat illustrations. But the other day, we were up fishing. It was Tommy and I in my boat, and Martin was in his boat. And the one spot we're in was a little bit wavy, so when my boat hits the waves, you know you're hitting the waves. Because we took out my GPS. Do you know that you could take your TomTom and go on a lake, and it will follow you on the lake? We did that the other night. We learned we can do that, so... we did that. We're out, and Martin checked it one time. I go between 6 and 7 miles an hour when I'm on the lake going as fast as I can. So when I hit a wave, I feel it. How fast do you go in your boat? Martin goes somewhere between 32 and 35 miles an hour. So when I'm going my 6 to 7 mile putt-putt speed, Martin just flies on by me. And you know, there's something about going in a boat that's going faster. Not totally, but especially with some of the smaller waves, you go right over the top of them, you don't feel them as much. But I kind of feel them all. Now, there's nothing problem with that because I don't know I'm feeling them all until I see him flying on by me. I want you to think of your life. Are you allowing every little wave of life to control you? Or are you riding above the waves? And living life above life, and I want you to know that is the way a Christian ought to live their life. So three things. Number one, make praising God a way of life. Make praising God a way of life. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now, I want you to know, Paul is getting ready to tell the Corinthian church how bad he has it. Now, if you've ever had Aunt Millie come up and tell you how bad her gallbladder is, she has nothing on the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you're sitting with the Apostle Paul and he's getting ready to tell you how bad life is, I mean, you're just going to kind of sit there and go, he had life. I mean, if you just looked at what he had in life, his life was the pits. But you know what? It's interesting. Every time you look at his life, what's he doing? He's praising God. He's praising God. In fact, let me show you. Turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. I'm sorry, I missed one. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you already have Philippians, just put your finger there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, I'm going to move quick. Ephesians 1:3. Notice what he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Skip over to Philippians chapter 1. If you can't keep up, it's not a problem. Just sit and listen. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. Skip over to Colossians chapter 1. It's the very next book. Colossians 1:3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's the very next book. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he has considered me faithful. Could have went to 1 Corinthians also. We could have went to 2 Timothy also. And we could go to a whole bunch more passages. But let me say this. You know this passage because I've mentioned many times. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were in the city of Philippi and they were beaten up. I mean, they were beaten up and bloody. And they end up in jail. And it's midnight. Anyone ever stay up to midnight because you couldn't sleep? I mean, he just couldn't sleep. It was that way for me Friday night. I couldn't sleep. And the phone started ringing. Now, Tommy, my son, and Tommy Koval are out of town. And Connie was out of town. So I was in the house by myself. Well, I don't normally get calls at 11:30 unless there's trouble. So the phone started ringing. I thought, something wrong with Connie. And I thought, oh, no, Tommy's down at the boardwalk by himself with Tommy Koval. There's got to be trouble. Now, we don't have a phone that works upstairs. We only have one that works downstairs, but it'll ring upstairs. So I go flying down the steps thinking, you know, someone in my family's in trouble because I'm the only one home. And it's Martin on the phone. He said, I just had to call you to let you know that I just got a striper and I knew you'd want to know. So sometimes you have those late nights. The Apostle Paul is beaten up, bleeding, sitting in a jail. It's about midnight, so he's a half hour later than Martin. And what's he doing? I'll tell you what, he's sitting in there and complaining. Yeah, jail's too small, jail's too cold, there's bars here. These guys just beat me up. Boy, my life stinks. All I really want to do is die. Boy, I serve God, and look what God does to me. You know, I love God, and certainly God doesn't care about me. And what's he doing? The Bible tells us he's in there, and he's singing and praising God. He's sitting in jail, and he is praising God at midnight. Paul lived a life of praise. And I want you to know, if you learn to live a life of praise, no matter what comes your way, you know what? You're going to beat it. You're going to beat it. And it doesn't matter if you lose physically, because you know what? All of us sometimes lose physically, and ultimately we're going to physically lose it completely someday. But if you learn to praise God and you live a life that's just full of praising God, I want you to know you can't lose. Yeah. Have you ever thought, how could you ever beat Paul? Think about it. How could you ever beat Paul? He gets shipwrecked 3 times, mind you. He gets beat up in every city he's in. And finally, they stone him, drag him outside the city, and they leave him for dead. And what does Paul do? He gets up and he walks back in the city. Let me ask you, do you have that kind of demeanor? He's praising God at midnight. You know what? Paul was not the only one that had that kind of attitude. In fact, turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Make praising God a way of life. Watch this. Psalm 150, verse 1. Psalm 150 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know there are times when you might be in church and you might say to yourself, you know, this one has nothing to do with me. I can sit back and be quiet. Marilyn June always told me that. Whenever I preached on marriage, she used to laugh and say, I don't have to listen to this one. But notice the verse here. It says, let everything that has breath. Is anyone here this morning that's not breathing? Anyone here that's not breathing? Where's Tyler? Tyler, where are you, Tyler? I don't see Tyler. Where is he? Tyler. Are you sitting up? Are you sitting up? Your eyes open? Are you breathing? Are you listening? How do you feel now that I point you out in front of everybody? Feel okay? Remember, I told you I'd do that, didn't I? Yeah, okay. So I keep my word, right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, there was another guy. I'm sure you know who he is, right? Job. I know you didn't want me to mention him. Remember, he got to a point in his life where everything was falling apart. And his wife said, you know what, I got an idea. Things are pretty bad. Why don't you curse God? You know, that's like an Old Testament form of euthanasia. If you wanted to die in the Old Testament and they couldn't give you a needle, in the Old Testament all you would do is curse God and God would kill you. That's her thinking. Curse God and die, and all your problems will be over with. What does he do? He praises God. I want you to know, if you live a life where you just as a way of life praise God, there's not a thing that can come your way that's going to win. You know, we just sang a song. I wonder if we really believe it. Do you really believe it? Victory in Jesus? You really believe there's victory in Jesus? Or do you say, well, you know, yeah, there's victory in the sense that I've gotten saved, but that's about as far as it goes. If you look at the great men and women of God in the Bible, you will see people that as a way of life, no matter what came their way, they praise God. See, that is one of the things that ought to separate us from this world, because this world, Romans chapter 1, they don't praise God anymore. They've kind of given up on that. They don't want to praise God. They've turned to other things. But a Christian has a way of life ought to be one who praises God. In fact, you know, Paul always found a reason to praise God too. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 1 if you're not there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Jimmy, turn that off for a second. Yeah. Well, black it. Notice verse 3. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. If you read all these verses where Paul uses the word thank you or thank God or praise God, in all of these passages, he always finds a reason for doing that. And let's see, how many did I give you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I gave you 10. 10 different passages Paul found the reason for thanking God. In every one of them, it was something different. I wonder if you could sit down right now and begin writing, could you find 10 things? I'm sure you could. If you lived a life that was a way of life that praised God. I think all too all often we moan like the rest of the world moans. Yeah, I have a friend, and he lives down in Florida now. And Joan just came back from Florida, and she said it's too hot down there. And I agree with Joan on that. I don't want to move to Florida. I figure I'm going to get old and just stay here. That's going to be an unusual thing. So I'm going to kind of go against the trend. He said that people down in Florida are happier. I said, well, why are they happier? He said, the reason they're more happy, I think, is because they get more sunlight. And life tells us that if you get less sunlight, you know, like winter around here, or even sometimes summer around here, then the tendency is you're not going to be as happy. And you know what? I think he's right. Except for one thing. If that is true of you as a Christian, I want you to know you're missing out on what the Christian life is all about. Because it didn't matter for Paul if it was sunlight or dark. It didn't matter if he was out in the sun or, and you know, enjoying life, or if he was in a deep, dark, cold dungeon. No matter where we found Paul, he was praising God. No matter what life situation Paul found himself in, he was praising God. And I think we have lived as Christians such subpar Christian lives that for someone to get up and tell you what I'm telling you right now, you simply back and say, I don't care what you say, it's not right, it's not true, you're wrong. But I want you to know that's what Scripture says. Scripture says that we can live above this life. Scripture says we ought to praise God all the time. And I want you to know that I have certainly learned in my life, although not perfectly, because there's many times when I fail, I have learned that no matter what is going on in your life, you can live above it by learning, number one, to praise God, no matter what is happening. There's just something about praising God that no matter what else is going on in your life, it keeps your head positive. It keeps your head straight. Instead of being negative about every little thing that happens. And isn't it so interesting how quick we are to jump on negative things? I mean, as soon as something happens that we don't like, we are just so quick to voice our negativity and to feel that negativity but it's so hard to praise. Well, I've certainly learned that the right thing is usually harder and the wrong thing is usually easier. Just ask your kids. I've been asking this question for many, many years. And I've gotten the answer same every time. Is there a parent here this morning that had to teach their kids to do the wrong thing? Any parent here, I mean, you had to sit down with your kids and kind of sit down and say, young Tommy, I want to teach you something that you're not normally going to do. I want to teach you how to be bad. You know what? None of us had to do that. Usually the thing that's right is usually the harder thing. If you want to learn to live above life, and I want you to know every Christian ought to be living above this life, every Christian ought to be living
in their demeanor and their attitude different than the lost. If we are not, listen, if we are not, then what's the value of Christianity? I mean, if we can't show this world that through a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can live above this world, then what are we showing the world? Now, obviously, we're not going to get to all three. But I hope I've been able to drive this first one home. If you want to live above life, learn to make praising God a way of life. If you're in the middle of something really difficult, find some reason for praising God. And you know what? Once you begin to live a life of praising God, once that's become part of your life, you no longer have to work at it. It just happens. And when you fail at it, the Bible says a righteous person just keeps getting back up. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want you to know I am not going to ask you to come forward. I am not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm only going to ask you to do one thing. Think about your relationship with God. What is the demeanor of your life showing to this world? What is the demeanor of your life showing this world? Are we showing the world that we're no different than them? Are we showing the world that a relationship with Christ can truly make a difference? Father God, help us to show this world that our relationship with you is real and that it makes a difference. So help us to be like Paul, who just seemed to be unable to lose, even though the world may have looked at his life and thought he was a failure. Help us, Father, to be like him, who just praised you all the time. No matter what was going on in his life, good or bad, he just praised you all the time. Help us, Father, to be like him. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.